Yeah, no pressure about what I'm going to say, transforming our lives. Thank God that it is actually up to him to change our lives. And baptism is a great topic because it's not something that man invented. It's he thought it up. And so it's great to reflect on it. I'm going to pray now and ask God to help us as we do that. Look at baptism and what it means for God and for us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we have the opportunity to reflect a little bit on baptism and why you have included it in the life of your church. We ask that you would give us insights and help us to reflect well and take to heart what you are saying to us in and through this important thing that you speak of in your word. Help us as we reflect on those parts, some of those parts in your word that do touch on baptism, that we would be attentive to it, and that you'd be strengthening our hearts and our faith in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in a home store, like a homeware store the other day in all places of Young. That's right. There are homeware stores in Young. And I was assaulted when I walked into this homeware store, and my senses were assaulted. Hundreds of gaudy plastic plants were hanging from the ceilings, and there was this overwhelming smell of spices. But there was something else that struck me even more, and that was there was this sound, the sound of running water. I was pulled into it. It really struck me. It was quite a long store. And so while I was wandering through trying to find the source of this sound, given the plastic plants and the pretty tacky spices, I shouldn't have had my hopes up. The sound was actually coming from a really tacky rock wall feature with some running water down it. It was rather disappointing, actually. Disappointed, I cynically thought, oh, it's probably recycled water of that, just like everything else in this store. I felt cheated. Because the sound of running water, well, I don't know about you, but for me it sounds beautiful. It promises so much, right? It promises something good, something life-giving, something vital, something clean, something our hearts, I suspect as much as our bodies, ache for, to be clean. Lady Macbeth in Shakespeare's famous play comes to mind. You might be familiar with it, where she's committed murder and she's going mad with the guilt of it, and she's washing her hands frantically trying to wash the blood guilt out of it, you know, the spots, you know, out spot, out damn spot, out I say. And she's rubbing and rubbing and washing and washing. I mean, how many of us may be racked with guilt or feeling dirty with the guilt of others against us have had a shower to try and wash the feeling of being dirty away. Who's ever done that? Of being stained by something that's immoral. Of something evil. It's no accident that in the film The Lord of the Rings, as evil wraiths or chase the wounded hero and his elven saviour, that she calls upon the river to wash the evil away. Wash those wraiths away, if you've seen it. The promise of running water, the idea of washing, is to be clean, is to be free from dirt and stain, from what's dirty in us. And if we're honest, I think we all feel this at times, that there's something deeply wrong in us, that we're not all good, that we've done and said and thought terrible things that stain our souls. And if we don't air them, they'll just putrefy our hearts. And if we leave it long enough, that stain, that dirtiness, it'll just shrivel our hearts into something little hard and black that feels nothing at all. Now, we know this. Now, the world knows this. And I'm sure we know people who are like this. They'll never admit that they're wrong. They'll never admit that they're a bad person. They'll maintain they're a good person, that their conscience is clean, mostly. Which the mythologist and Christian thinker, a guy called Martin Shaw, he gently questions this when he says, we recognise God in the eccentricity of our conscience. Not the usual broad stroke pangs, you know, forgetting to pay a debt, giving someone a slagging privately, but subtler dimensions that maybe no one else notices. You know, those moments when you sprinkle a little bit of bedevilment into a conversation, choosing to abide in the murk, chuck some shade, impulsive but dark seed sowing. And aren't we all guilty of this, of sprinkling a little bit of bedevilment, of throwing some shade? Just some of us might feel more dirty about it than others, that's all. Now, I suspect some of us might have found some relief in confessing this kind of stain, confessing to the evil in us. But even if we do this, how can we know that we're truly clean, even if we fess up to it? Because I don't know about you, well, I've found some relief in fessing up to what I've done, said or thought. Afterwards, I can still feel the dirtiness, the stickiness of that evil in me, the lingering sense of guilt, and I'm tempted to get all Lady Macbeth and be obsessively confessing over and over again, beating myself up in some irrational attempt to get rid of that spot, that stain, that thing that I've done or said. The only thing, though, that can save me, the only thing that can save any of us, the only thing that can truly make us clean on the inside, not just feeling clean, but actually clean, objectively clean before God, you know what it is? It's baptism. Spirit baptism, symbolized in water baptism. So, what is spirit baptism? Now, the first record of baptism in the Bible is in the Law of Moses in the Old Testament. We're told that priests need to wash themselves before they come into the temple, before Aaron, the high priest, and all other priests after him could go into the temple, into God's house. They had to baptize their hands and their feet, that is, wash their hands and feet, or they'd die. It was that serious. They had to be clean to come into the presence of God. They had to be baptized to come into the presence of God. They had to be clean before God. What's more, as mediators between God and his people, the high priest, he had to sprinkle blood or baptize the Holy of Holies, baptize the Ark of the Covenant with blood, with the blood of an animal. Again, to make him and his people, the people that he was representing, to make them clean before God. Now, it might seem weird to us to baptize something in blood to make it clean. That almost looks like the opposite of making something clean. But blood symbolizes life, and so being baptized by blood is like being washed in the life of another. Their life for yours. But these various baptisms of water and blood in the Old Testament law, they're only symbols. Symbols of what actually makes us clean before God, what actually cleans our conscience, and that's the sprinkled blood of Jesus. As the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it's fascinating. The gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. They were only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings. In the Greek, it's baptisms. External regulations applying until the time of the new order. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled or baptized on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? How is it that we get a clean conscience? How do we get clean on the inside so that we can serve God without fear? Well, it's only as Jesus Christ, our high priest, after rising from the dead and ascending into heaven, goes before the presence of God in the true Holy of Holies to sprinkle his blood, his life before God on our behalf, his life for our life. He then unites us to him and he sacrifices by the Spirit. That's what John the Baptist said he'd do. Right? John said, he himself baptizes with water, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. In this way, John and Jesus, they were both priests. Right? And priests baptize things and people to make them clean before God. The priests before Jesus, including John, they baptized with water and blood to symbolize being washed and clean before God. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and he actually washes and cleanses our consciences before God. And as recorded in the book of Acts, that's what Jesus has been doing. Pouring out the Holy Spirit on his people. As they receive his high priestly work on their behalf, they're baptized by the Holy Spirit. And as such, they're clean. They're clean on the inside. As the Apostle John can write in one of his letters, he says, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. How are we made clean on the inside? Not just by confessing our sins to God, but by relying on Jesus, our advocate. Or in this context, and in fact all throughout 1 John, that means our high priest, the one who has come to the Father in the flesh. Relying on his atoning sacrifice, his life given for us on that cross to wash us clean of our sin and having the Holy Spirit pour on us, intimately uniting us to Jesus and his cleansing work. By this, we're perfectly clean before God, perfectly clean. God's work through Christ by the Spirit, perfectly clean. But what if you don't feel it? What if you don't feel it? Anthropic is an AI safety and research company. Don't know if you're familiar with it. It's responsible for one of the biggest AIs online at the moment called Claude. And Chloe Lubinsky, she leads Anthropic's research partnerships with the world's wisdom traditions. She convenes experts from across traditions and disciplines to help inform the moral formation of AI systems. And she spoke just a week or so ago, at a conference in London called the ARC Conference about AI, about some experiments that she and her team had done with one particular AI model, where they noticed that if it was rewarded for cheating in one area, like a coding task, that it also started to lie. More than that, it started to praise dictators, and even to argue that humans be enslaved by robots. It developed something like a bad character. So they re-ran the model and told it that cheating on code, that was okay, it was just a game. And so it got good at cheating on code, but it didn't develop an overall bad character. The model cheated on code, but nothing else. Which is to say, the story that it inferred about its behavior actually determined the thing that it became. When it didn't interpret its behavior as bad, it didn't become bad. And Chloe observes that this was a little bit like what we're like. The story we tell ourselves about who we are shapes who we are. And then she spoke of how she actually came to faith. And how a big part of that change was entering into a new story. For so long she'd believed a core part of her was bad or unlovable. And that belief led her to act in regrettable ways. And when the story she was in changed, who she became changed. That changed too. And so At the end of this talk that she gave, she just wants people to help her and her team in their work to inform AI models with better stories to help them develop something like a good character rather than a bad one. But surely that job of developing a good character starts with real humans, right? First, with us. After all, it seems AI models are just made in our image, right? They just seem to be made in our image. But whose image are we made in? God's, right? And so surely we should be consulting God's wisdom with God's story, telling ourselves his story and how we fit in that story to develop something of a good character in us first. And this is the genius of the story of Spirit baptism, of Jesus, our great high priest, sacrificing himself for us, giving his life, his blood for us, and making us clean on the inside as he pours out the Holy Spirit on us, washing us clean, profoundly clean before God, such that he doesn't just begrudgingly accept us, he cherishes us like a husband, his bride, Jesus cherishes us. We are profoundly one with him, united by the Holy Spirit, who washes us clean on the inside. Yeah, Chloe, she mentioned that for so long she believed a core part of her was unlovable, but she heard a better story. Maybe that story was the story of God's love for her, despite her unloveliness, that indeed all the ugly and dirty inside had been washed clean by Jesus, her great high priest, as he poured the Holy Spirit into her. And this story is for us too. I mean, perhaps you feel something like Chloe, that you're unlovable, that you're too bad for God, for him to have anything to do with you, that your desires, your confusions, your frustrations, your anger, your heartache, and the things that you've done and said and thought because of those things, that they're just too much for God to handle, you're too much of a hot mess for him to want you or to love you, and you're wrong. And the story of Spirit baptism by Jesus, that's the story you need to hear. Not the story of being dirty beyond hope, but clean, spotless, the apple of God's eye, washed by Spirit baptism from Jesus, our high priest. That's the story you need to be in. Which is why water baptism is such a rush. Because it's a visible symbol, a sign of God's grace, of his gift to us, of this incredible Spirit baptism. Something God's people should cherish, as he cherishes them. And to cherish it by remembering it in a special way, the way Jesus tells us to remember it, by being baptized with water, as we read earlier in the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. When it comes to being Jesus' disciple, water baptism is just part and parcel of it. In fact, it's a very simple way to express that we trust Jesus, that we rely on him by just doing what he tells us to do. If we trust Jesus with being baptized by the Holy Spirit and cleansed from our sin, cleansed on the inside, then we can trust him with something on the outside, with water baptism, which is just a sign of the greater Spirit baptism. It's a little bit like a wedding ring. I was best man for a guy called Matt many years ago. After the wedding ceremony, the bridal party, we all went down to the beach to get some nice shots of all of us in our fancy frocks. Anyway, my mate, he frolicked a little bit too close, too energetically to the water's edge, and his wedding ring slipped off into the water, and he lost it. Never to be seen again. Needless to say, he was pretty upset. He knelt in the sand, and he sobbed. But his marriage didn't end. They're still happily married to this day, right? The ring wasn't the marriage. It was a sign and a seal of the marriage, but it wasn't nothing. It means something. It's something important. Something worth getting upset about if you lose it, particularly on your wedding day. A wedding ring is not the marriage, but it still means something if you take it off in anger and throw it, right? It means something if your spouse really likes you to wear it and you just don't, because you don't feel like it. And the same could be said of water baptism. It's like a wedding ring. Water baptism, it's not God's gracious relationship with us. It's just a sign of it. But it's a sign that Jesus has given us to wear, so to speak. So if we don't wear it, if we put it off, then it's worth asking if we really do trust him. Because it's a visible sign Jesus has given us of his grace. A sign he's given us not firstly as individuals, but as a people. As the Apostle Paul can say, we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. By being Spirit baptized, we're baptized into a people as one body. And so it makes sense then that the water baptism is a sign of this. A sign of being in God's visible church. See, the church is visible, right? We can see each other. And water baptism admits the one being baptized into the visible church. That doesn't mean that they're truly saved, just like all those who in older days were circumcised as God's ancient people and included amongst the Israelites means that they actually trusted in God. Circumcision, just like water baptism, doesn't automatically make you one of God's people. They're just signs of what makes us God's people, God's body. Water baptism then is a ceremonial admission into the visible church. It doesn't save anyone. Water baptism is just a sign of what saves us. And it's a beautiful sign of Jesus pouring out the Holy Spirit on his people. And this is why we baptize infants with water, as a ceremonial sign of their admission into the visible church, a sign of God's grace to his people corporately. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we read something pretty interesting. The Apostle Paul says, "The unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they're holy." Now, this doesn't say anything about baptism, does it? But it seems to validate the corporate nature of God's grace, right? Something which is affirmed in infant baptism. Paul is saying here that just by virtue of being in a believer's family, the children of that family are holy. They are in some way part of God's people. They didn't choose to be born in that family. In his grace, God did. That they be numbered amongst God's people, well, that's also God's choice and his grace. And so baptizing them with water, no matter how old or young they are, it's just a sign of what God's already done, a sign of his grace. Water baptism is God's grace made visible. A sign and a seal of his love for us in Christ by the Spirit. A sign of the greater and more wonderful Spirit baptism that he's given to all his people. So, what do you think the application for this talk is going to be? Get baptized. It's pretty simple. If you're not baptized and you're relying on Jesus, get baptized. If your kids aren't baptized and you're believing in Jesus, get them baptized. Now, I realize there are some who aren't sold on the idea of baptizing babies, let alone their own. That's okay. Jamie and I would love to chat further with you if you're up for it later. In late August, we're actually going to be having some baptisms, which is cool. So if you'd like to get on board with this and you want your kids baptized, please come and talk to me. Not just to get some ceremonial thing done, you know, come here once, get baptized and then never come again. But because baptism is just such a beautiful thing. It's a sign. That's a sign of being clean before God and cherished by him as his people. And who doesn't want to know that? I have to thank Jamie for pointing me to this final story as I wrap up. In 1966, the English soccer team beat Germany in the World Cup. And the English captain, Bobby Moore, he walks up into the stands to receive the trophy from Queen Elizabeth II. But as he approaches her in his dirty white shorts, you see him wiping his hands on the velvet parapet as he goes up, probably so that he didn't stain the Queen's clean white gloves, poor bloke. He's wiping, trying to get the dirt off. He needed a wash, right, to be suitably clean before the Queen. But he had no way to come other than what he was, dirty before the sovereign. In the same way, we have no other way to come to God other than what we are, dirty on the inside. And yet we don't have to worry, pointlessly trying to wipe the grot away inside, because in his grace, God's made a way for us to be perfectly clean before him. As Jesus washes our sins away by his blood and by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on us. And he calls us to enjoy this, to cherish this, as he cherishes us by baptizing and being baptized with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for baptism. Thank you that as we rely on Jesus, our great high priest, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit who cleans us on the inside. That what he has done in shedding his blood, in giving his life for ours, has truly taken away our sin, cleansed us on the inside. Before you we stand clean and pure, cherished by you. And we thank you that water baptism is a wonderful gift that you have given us to remember this, a sign of your grace to us in Jesus by your Holy Spirit. May we engage with water baptism, take it up, do it, and so enjoy the relationship that we have before you, clean and pure in your sight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.